Okay, let's talk housing. If you own a home, or maybe you're trying to buy one, or honestly, even if you just live in today's economy, the housing market is, well, it's probably a big source of financial noise for you, maybe even stress.
Oh, definitely.
Headlines are all over the place, right? One day it's doom, the next it's boom. It makes it incredibly hard, I think, for anyone to figure out what is actually going on.
Yeah, that's really the challenge, isn't it? There's just so much information flying around, and a lot of it, frankly, clouds the real picture. So our mission today is simple. Cut through that fog. We've looked at all your source material, boil it down, and found the one core insight, the one thing that really describes where the market's headed right now. It's probably the single most important piece of data you need at this moment.
So we're really doing the executive summary approach today, based on everything you've synthesized, all that recent research on residential activity. The key finding is pretty straightforward, it sounds
It is unambiguous, actually. Here it is. Spring home prices show softening growth across major cities.
Softening growth.
That's
Okay.
it. That's the core summary. And look, for you listening, this might not sound flashy or sensational, but it's incredibly practical.
Right.
It gives you a really precise, non-emotional read on what the market's doing. It cuts through all the speculation about bubbles bursting or prices going to the moon. We're just looking at the change in speed right now.
Okay, let's unpack that immediately. Those two words, softening growth. I think everyone hearing that instantly wonders, does this mean prices are finally coming down? So, can you break down the difference? What is softening growth versus an actual price decline?
Yeah, absolutely crucial distinction. And honestly, this is where a lot of the confusion in media reports comes from. Softening growth simply means the rate of price increase is slowing down. The pace of acceleration is decreasing. It is fundamentally different from a price decline. If prices were actually falling, the sources, the data, they'd use words like contracting, falling, declining. We're not seeing that language here.
So it's all about the momentum, not necessarily the direction yet.
Exactly. Think about it like this, conceptually. Let's say prices were just soaring, maybe, I don't know, 18% year over year last quarter. Softening growth means that rate has now eased off. Maybe it's down to, say, 8% or 10% year over year. Prices are still going up. They're likely still hitting new highs in many places. But the speed, the velocity at which they're climbing is just, well, it's slower than it was during those really frenetic peak times.
I get the technical difference, but let me play devil's advocate for a second. If prices are still climbing at 8% or 10% a year, I mean, that's still way faster than most people's wages are growing.
True.
So for the average person out there really struggling with affordability with these high mortgage rates, does calling that softening feel, I don't know, like it minimizes the real pain still happening in this overheated market?
That is such an important point. It really hits on that gap between the data points and the lived reality for people. And you're right. For a buyer, a 10% increase is still a massive hurdle. Absolutely. But for an analyst trying to understand the market's overall health, the rate of change is incredibly important. Think of it this way. If the market kept appreciating at 18%, that's just not sustainable. It hints at, runaway inflation. But if it slows to 8 or 10%, that suggests things are starting to stabilize, even if the actual price tags remain painfully high. So the term softening, it's really descriptive of the trend, the change in speed. It's not trying to comment on whether it's actually affordable or not.
Okay, so it's like easing your foot off the gas pedal versus slamming on the brakes. You're still moving forward pretty fast, just not actively accelerating quite as hard.
That's a perfect analogy. Exactly. And we really need to get comfortable with this vocabulary because it's probably the most misunderstood concept when people read real estate news. You might see a headline screaming, "Home prices collapse." But then you read the article and it turns out the appreciation rate just dropped from, say, 15% to 5%.
Which is still an increase.
Right. So that headline is, sensationalizing things. What your sources are telling us here is much more measured. The momentum is slowing, but the direction is still, for now, upward.
Okay, that clarity definitely helps keep things in perspective. Let's shift gears then to the scope of this finding because it was very specific. Softening spring home price growth across major cities. Why focus on major cities? Why is that geographical piece important here?
That phrase, across major cities, is really significant. These big metro areas are typically where you see the most investment money flowing in. They often have the tightest inventory problems and, of course, the highest actual prices. So when you see a trend playing out uniformly across these specific places, It suggests there's a common powerful driver at play that's kind of overriding the unique local factors in each city.
So it's not just happening in like the Bay Area or New York City specifically. It's a more generalized thing affecting the big players.
Precisely. And it points pretty strongly towards the impact of sustained national economic forces.
Like interest rates.
Primarily high interest rates, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the effect that has on people's buying power. Think about the cost of financing a huge mortgage in places like Boston or Seattle or L.A. right now.
Yeah.
It seems we've hit a kind of ceiling, a point where enough buyers just can't stretch their budgets any further.
Mm.
The fact that this softening is happening uniformly suggests that the basic math, high prices plus high borrowing costs, has created a sort of standardized affordability limit in these expensive markets.
But hang on, if it's national forces like interest rates causing this, why wouldn't we see the same softening, maybe even more, in smaller, supposedly more affordable towns or regions? Why just the major cities highlighted?
That's the really critical implication, isn't it? The sources are specific. Major cities are also where you find the highest concentration of investor activity, including large institutional buyers.
Okay.
And these bigger players often use similar financial models. When financing gets more expensive across the board, their expected returns drop uniformly.
Mm.
That can cause them to pull back capital from all major markets kind of simultaneously. Smaller regional markets, on the other hand, they might be driven more by different factors, maybe local job growth or people moving out of those expensive big cities.
Right.
Seeking affordability.
Exactly. And individual homeowners making decisions based on their own circumstances. Plus, the actual price points are lower to begin with, so maybe there's a little more wiggle room before affordability becomes a system-wide brick wall, you know?
So the uniformity in the big cities might be less about purely local housing dynamics and more about this national investment climate and affordability ceiling hitting the priciest areas first and hardest.
I think that's a very accurate way to put it. What you, the listener, need to take away is that this source material gives us a clear snapshot of the top tier of the U.S. housing market.
Yeah, okay.
If you live somewhere else, a smaller city, a rural area, the dynamics could be completely different. We can only focus on what the sources confirm. This softening trend is a general characteristic of the nation's largest metro areas right now.
Understood. Okay, let's tackle the last piece of the puzzle here, the timing. Spring home prices. Why does mentioning the season matter? Real estate is famously seasonal after all.
It matters hugely. Spring is like the peak season for housing. It's traditionally when you see the most homes listed for sale, the most buyers out looking.
The bidding wars start.
Exactly. Competition heats up, and typically, prices see their sharpest increases of the year during the spring months. Buyers want to get settled before the next school year. Sellers know it's their prime time. The natural market momentum is usually strongest then.
Okay, so if momentum should be picking up in the spring, based on normal seasonal patterns, but instead we're seeing the rate of growth actually slowing down, that implies something bigger is at play. Something structural must be pushing back against that usual spring fever.
Precisely. That's the key insight here.
Yeah.
If we saw growth softening in, say, late fall or early winter, we might just say, oh, okay, that's normal seasonality. Things are winding down.
Right.
But for the rate of price appreciation to decelerate during what's normally the highest energy period, that signals that the current economic headwinds, those high mortgage rates we keep coming back to, are strong enough to actually dampen that expected spring surge.
Hmm. I wonder, though, could it just be timing? Rates have been bouncing around a lot. Is it possible that some of the really sharp price gains we saw earlier were people rushing to buy before rates went even higher? And maybe this spring softening is just like a necessary breather, the market catching its breath after exhausting that immediate pool of buyers?
That's an interesting thought. Kind of suggests buyer burnout rather than a fundamental shift.
Yeah.
And look, there's definitely an element of fatigue out there after years of crazy competition, no doubt. But the evidence seems stronger for a structural override.
Mm.
Remember, even after the initial big surge in 2020 and 2021, spring 2023 still had some real energy in many markets. For the current spring period that the sources cover to show this generalized softening across major cities, it really does suggest that a structural limit has been more broadly reached. That limit being the maximum monthly payment a large chunk of even high-earning households can realistically afford.
So seasonality is powerful, but the math of affordability is maybe even stronger right now.
It seems so. It's the combination, the sustained high cost to borrow money, layered on top of years of incredibly rapid price run-ups, finally hitting a kind of constraint point. especially in the places where prices were highest to start with.
That makes sense. The market's searching for a new balance, maybe, but from a very, very high starting point.
That sums it up perfectly. The softening of the growth rate tells us the extreme heat might be dissipating somewhat. It doesn't mean the market's suddenly gone cold.
Okay, so let's pull this all together. Let's synthesize that core finding again for everyone listening. We started with that one clear sentence designed to cut through all the noise.
Right, and that single critical insight, based on your sources, is this. The top end of the residential housing market is currently characterized by a slowdown, a deceleration in the rate that prices are going up. And this trend is showing up uniformly across major metropolitan areas, powerful enough to override the usual upward push we'd expect during the peak spring season.
And knowing that fact, just focusing on the market's current speed, it's velocity that gives you a concise, really useful summary of this incredibly complex real estate picture.
Okay.
It's the essential takeaway for understanding where things stand right now.
Exactly. And, you know, as we leave you to think about these dynamics, this specific finding, this softening growth, it naturally leads to a big forward-looking question, doesn't it?
Mm.
Since this phase of super high-speed price growth seems to be easing, does this softening signal the start of a real return to maybe more normal pre-2020 growth rates, like back to maybe 3-5% a year? Or
yes,
is just a temporary pause? Because we still have that underlying issue, that well-documented national shortage of housing supply, this softening trend doesn't fix that fundamental problem. So is this just a brief breather for buyers before those structural supply issues eventually force prices to start accelerating again, maybe when interest rates shift or the economy changes?
That supply shortage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the ultimate wild card in all of this, isn't it? Well, thank you for guiding us through this deep dive on what's shaping housing prices in major cities right now.
My pleasure.
We will catch you next time.